finally made it and is staying put. I'm joined by Tom Izzo. Tom, it's great to have you back. How are you?
Thanks, Jim. It's good to be back.
Good to have you, Tom. What a process that must have been. 9 days, probably felt like 9 weeks. What was it like going through that process, trying to decide what to do?
Well, it wasn't all bad. I mean, it was a great situation. It just, gathering information that I thought I needed to make a good decision. And I said the great part for me, Jim, is I had a lot of great former players and guys in the league that, helped give me a little perspective on everything. Not that I haven't watched it and figured it out, but this was a little unique, being a little closer to home and with a potential very, very good team and an owner that is right down the road from me, and all those things made it a little different situation than some of the other things.
Speaking of former players of Michigan State, noted alum Magic Johnson called you during the process. What did he say to you?
You know, Irvin was great. I mean, he really was, and I really appreciated it. He just, the advice he gave me is, you've earned the right to take a look. And don't feel guilty about that, because I kind of did. And, told me some of the, pros and cons, meaning, what he thought. He loves our program here. He's been, I think, at almost every NCAA game we've played in the last couple of years, and all the Final Fours. And so he, more or less said, take a good look. Don't feel guilty about taking the look. It's not like this is something I do every year. I've maybe looked two or three times here in about a 15-year period at different things. And he said, that's been earned, not given. So try to enjoy the process. And I thought that was very helpful.
Michigan State head coach Tom Izzo is my guest. You took a look. You kicked the tires. You thought about it. But in the end, you decided to stay put. What did the decision come down to?
Like everybody does, Jim, when you have a decision to make, you look at the pros, you look at the cons, and the 27 years here, 15 as a head coach, definitely was a pro, and the team I got coming back, and the players that I've got, and I think what we built here was the big pro side, and then on the other side, the chance to be in the NBA, I really enjoyed Dan Gilbert, the owner, and all the info I got on him. He was great. Of course, there's, money is money, but there's more money in that. And maybe last but not least is, the chance to coach a player of LeBron James's caliber. And, I feel fortunate that I'm at a school that, has one of the greatest players ever to play the game in Magic Johnson. And now to get to coach one myself, on the pro side also.
Yeah, had you been given some sort of assurance, if at all possible, that LeBron was going to be there, would you have taken the job?
Well, that's a million-dollar question, I guess, but that if is a million-dollar word, too, and I think maybe I would have looked at it even a little differently. I mean, I feel comfortable that LeBron was not going to, in any way, shape, or form, no one was going to know what he was going to do for the next 2-3 weeks, and I mean, sure, that plays some part in it, but I don't think it would have been a make or breaker, just because there are other reasons to take the job if I wanted to or not take it. But there's no question they were one of the winningest teams in the NBA the last 2 years, and as we all know, he's a big part of that. So, sure, it plays some factor in it.
Hey, Tom, if that's the million-dollar question, I've got the $500,000 question. The fact that you are where you are right now and not there, can I assume that you decided or assume that he would not come back?
No, not at all. And I mean that honestly. I don't mean that for Dan Gilbert. I never talked to LeBron himself. I talked to some of the people in his camp, and they were actually very positive about everything. I was more worried about what is he looking for in a coach, than I was. I wasn't that dumb or that naive or that where I'm from in the UP crazy to think I was even going to put that pressure on anybody, nor did I deserve to know. But I wanted to know, could he play for someone who maybe is a little different, or a college guy, not the typical pro guy, and things like that. And everything I heard was very positive, and I'm pulling for him to go back there, but who knows, your Clippers is, I guess, one team mentioned, and there's four or five teams mentioned, but I think in the end, maybe he'll do what I did, maybe he won't, maybe he'll stay at home.
Tom Izzo joining us on the show. Here then is the $250,000 question. Hey, Tom, could they have made an argument to you, for instance, if they couldn't tell you whether or not he was coming and you couldn't get that assurance from him, could they have made an argument to you that even if he doesn't come, we have a plan, it's a workable plan, this is still a great opportunity for somebody like you? Is that something that you were open to?
Yeah, it was, Jim, because I really believed in the owner, and everybody I talked to just said it's an owner that you know, walks the talk. In other words, he wants to win a championship. He spent the money to do that. He's not afraid to do that. I do think it's going to be a successful organization, but, you know, you're still talking about one of the three or four greatest players definitely in the game right now, and who knows what the future will bring. So there's no question that they're going to be successful, because that's the way Dan Gilbert's going to get it done, no matter who's the coach is there. But so that argument would have worked for me, and the combination of that and looking at the chance that maybe, you know, he will be back there was very intriguing the other way.
Michigan State head coach Tom Izzo sharing his thoughts with us. Let me ask you this. When the whole process started to play out, there was suddenly speculation that as successful as you've been there, it's still a grind even to this day. And I understand, Tom, that everything is, but it's a battle. It's a grind to get the sort of talent that you personally need to be a perennial Final Four contender. Is there anything to the speculation? Is that part of it? And has it started to take a toll?
You know, I don't think it's started to take a toll on me physically. I think the quality of life issues that every coach goes through, no matter what age you are, where you are. But I mean, to keep this at the six Final Fours in 12 years, I think there's a couple different areas now that are, you know, I'm a president of the Coaches Association that I think we got to really take a look at. And, you know, the recruiting is always one, but the academic standards keep going up, which means, you know, coaches are held accountable for so many things that we can't control. You know, it's not, I'll never forget Jed Heathcote in a recruiting home when I was an assistant. The mother said, "Well, are you going to graduate my son?" And after 3 years of me recruiting him, his answer was, "Hell no. Your son's going to graduate your son." And yet I think it's looked at like that's our job, you know. If a kid gets in trouble, we're only allowed 20 hours a week to work with him. If he gets in trouble, and some of those other numerous hours that he has, the other 160 or 70 hours of the week, that's our fault. You know, the different hats you wear in college, I think, is what the hard part about college ball. And yet there's negatives in pro ball. And as Jed Heathcote says, Jim, make a lot of money, got a lot of problems. So there's going to be problems on all sides, and you just have to figure out which ones. But those are factors that I think are starting to creep into the college game a little bit more and more.
What happens if you have the kind of year that you expect, you go to the Final Four, maybe you do better than that, and then we go into the off season, and then somebody says, "Well, that makes seven. We got an opportunity for you here, and you have a chance to make a lot of money, coach a great team, and maybe kind of scratch that NBA itch. Are you still open to it?"
You know, I don't know if there's an NBA itch as much for me personally as there is. You know, I get tired of hearing that the college guys can't make it. You know, it's I think coaching's coaching, and I think you know, there's adjustments to be made. But you know, I said I'm pretty much here to stay now. I really do believe that. But as I also say, I don't know if you can ever say never, only because who knows? Maybe a new president comes in that doesn't like me. Maybe a new AD. You know, there's a million different factors. But, you know, I like the job I have. I've looked at it. I think the advantage I've had, Jim, is my institution, my AD, let me look at it. Some don't. And because of that, I don't have that same, what did I miss out on? I got to check out most of what I could have missed out on, and I think that makes it better.
And Tom, last thought, elaborate on that point. Maybe can't make it is too strong, but college coaches have struggled on the next level. Is coaching coaching, or is it different there? And why haven't college coaches fared better?
Well, one thing, Jim, that Dan Gilbert showed me that I thought was unique, said in the last 30 years, there's been like six teams that have been to the, you know, the finals, and I think six teams have won it two or more times, and there's like 14 or 13 teams that haven't even been to the finals. I think what it proves is there's only, you know, a few organizations out there. It's not always just the money, like the Yankees, that are doing it the right way. You know, San Antonio, Houston did, and you know, the Pistons, but then it's been the Lakers, the Bulls, and the Celtics, you know. And so as much as those seven college guys failed, look at some of the teams they took over before they got there. And I don't think anybody went from riches to rags. I think we were expecting rags to riches. And number two on that list, you know, what I say is, did you ever think of how many pro guys failed in that same 10-year period? There's been so many NBA guys that have been fired, too. So I'm not drinking that Kool-Aid yet, and yet I can't say that I know, but I got a lot of good friends in it, and one that I really respect out in your area that thinks that, you know, you could do the job, and it's the same things needed to be successful in college or high school is the same things needed, as Pat Riley proved out there, and now you're doing it with Jackson. You look at Doc Rivers, who I got a chance to coach in the Goodwill games with, and I think he's one of the best in the business, and he's pretty tough. He gets after it, but he has a great demeanor both ways.
Six Final Fours and a national championship in 12 years, and he is at Michigan State. Tom, appreciate the visit, appreciate the relationship, and it's great to have you back on.
You're the best, Jim. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Tom. I really appreciate it. Love having him on right after that, and I don't think you could have got a more candid conversation in response to the entire process than what you just heard from Tom Izzo. My thanks to Tom Izzo, Michigan State, setting that up. I'll tell you what. I got two You're the Best from two of the best coaches in the world today, Mack Brown and Tom Izzo.